The epistle for today's Mass, the Feast of the Assumption, is taken from the book of Judith, chapters 13 and 15. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, because by thee he hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who hath directed thee to the cutting off of the head of the prince of our enemies. Because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever, for that thou hast not spared thy life, by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but has prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the hope of our people. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because these things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story, a remarkable and even inspiring story, about religious sisters, communist Russian soldiers, and a miracle. The story took place in Siberia around the year 1952. And here is what happened. In 1951, 10 Ukrainian Catholic sisters were arrested by Russian communist police in the Ukraine. There they were imprisoned and then put on trial. During the trial, they were found guilty of being spies for the Vatican. They were sentenced to 10 years of hard labor in Siberia. After the trial, they and their fellow prisoners were herded in like cattle onto trains bound for Siberia. Among their fellow prisoners was a German man who was a prisoner of war. He had been captured by the Russians during the Second World War. He survived his so-called stay in Siberia and was at length able to get out of Russia. And it is he who told the story of these 10 sisters. Upon reaching Siberia in the autumn of 1952, the sisters were placed in their quarters. Strangely, they were permitted to live together. And as such, they persevered in striving to live their common religious life. In other words, they prayed morning and evening prayers together. They prayed the daily rosary together. Even as they often encouraged each other to patiently suffer their cross for Christ. And by doing this, they had no little effect on their fellow prisoners, including numerous non-Catholics, who referred to the sisters as angels from heaven. In fact, under the brutal and dangerous circumstances in which they lived, they were often giving secret instructions and catechism lessons, and even privately baptizing those they instructed in the faith. When God, so to speak, would send them a priest in the form of a fellow prisoner, they did everything possible to obtain what he needed to secretly offer Mass. Now, the Soviet commander of the prison, whose name was Naplouf, was especially hateful towards the sisters. He constantly referred to them, among other things, as dogs of the Vatican. He would often inspect their quarters, and when he found there hidden images of Christ and Our Lady, he would angrily throw them to the floor and step on them. But the following January of 1952, Commander Naplouf ordered all the sisters to his office for interrogation. He told them that they were spies for the Vatican and that he had orders from Moscow to break them. And by this he meant that they were ordered to sign an official statement in which they freely admitted that they had been deceived by the Catholic Church, and that they furthermore freely denounced their religious vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and that they would solemnly promise never more to engage in religious activities of any kind. He then threatened them with starvation and 6 days in an unheated cell if they would not sign the paper. And as you may know, my dear people, in Siberia, during the winter months, the temperature often drops to over 50 degrees below zero. That's not the wind chill. That's the actual temperature. But despite his threats, all 10 sisters refused to sign the document. The Soviet commander, enraged by their opposition and what he considered their insolence, ordered that they be taken to their unheated cells. And there for 6 days, these sisters, hardly clothed, endured the harsh and merciless Siberian winter. Even as they were given a small piece of bread and a small cup of water once a day. On the last day, Commander Naplouf ordered them to be removed from the cells and brought outside to the compound. The sisters were brought forth emaciated, and wearing nothing more than their work shirts and work pants, as their religious habits, of course, had been taken from them on the day of their arrest. But according to the German gentleman who told this story, the whole camp, that is, all the prisoners, had been assembled to witness what was about to happen. When the assembled prisoners, who were clothed in their coats and hats, saw the sisters hardly clothed, many of them became enraged and murmured out loud against the commander. But they were quickly threatened with death if they did not cease their outcries. The sisters were then brought to the middle of the compound. The order was given: sign the document or freeze to death. But again, the sisters, though starving and bitterly cold, refused to sign the document. Commander Naplouf, warmly dressed in his winter furs, lit a cigarette and with a smile sarcastically stated, "We have time." And as he said this, the 10 sisters huddled together and knelt in the snow. They then began to recite the rosary, praying the Most Blessed Virgin to sustain and strengthen them. 15 minutes passed, and then 30 minutes passed. And the sisters were still praying. The Soviet commander, at length feeling defeated in the presence of the entire camp, cried out in a certain desperation, "If you don't sign the paper now, we will let the dogs loose on you." But despite this new threat, the sisters continued to pray the rosary until they finished the 15 decades. They then sang the Nicene Creed, which creed we pray at Mass on Sundays and greater feast days of the year, such as today's Feast of the Assumption. But while they were singing the creed, the order was given, and the vicious guard dogs were released. The dogs ran swiftly towards the sisters, determined, as it were, to maul them to death. But then, very suddenly, all of them at once came to a halt. No command or sign had been given to them. They just suddenly stopped short of the sisters. Their countenances changed from ferocity to gentleness. And then all the dogs laid down upon the snow. The commander was stunned, while the prisoners broke out in one accord, "A miracle, a miracle." And as they were chanting "miracle," Commander Naplouf, angry, embarrassed, and defeated, gave the order that all the prisoners, including the sisters, were to return to their barracks. Interesting to note, he never again threatened the sisters. It is said that all 10 of them survived their imprisonment in Siberia and were among the thousands released sometime after the death of Joseph Stalin in 1954. Today, my dear people, is the great feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. On November the 1st in the year 1950, Pope Pius XII infallibly declared the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin to be a dogma of our holy Catholic faith. And thus today we honor the truth that the Blessed Virgin Mary was taken bodily into heaven, She was thus taken up to heaven, body and soul, where she received the everlasting reward of eternal happiness, and where she now reigns as queen. And she has since, as she prophesied of herself in today's gospel, she has since been called blessed by all generations. In other words, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Mary proclaimed to Elizabeth and to the whole world that she alone among all men would truly be called blessed for all time. She is thus our Blessed Mother. She is our Blessed Queen in heaven. And my dear friends, in her motherly love and affection for all who would follow her divine Son until the very end of time, she prays, she intercedes, she implores, and she obtains grace and mercy. And thus, from the heights of her heavenly glory, she thinks about us. She loves us, and how she prays for us. And mindful of the love of Mary and her powerful intercession with Jesus, the Church has from apostolic times, the very dawn of Christianity, the Church has fostered among her children devotion to her. For the Church knows, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori records, that it is impossible that a Mother of God should pray in vain. How we then, in all our difficulties, in all our temptations, and in all our crosses and suffering, how we ought to turn to our Blessed Mother and pray with confidence. The story of the Ukrainian sisters is a remarkable story. It is a remarkable story of courage and confidence. In the midst of intense suffering and misery, they patiently persevered. And there can be no doubt that they persevered because they turned to Mary. We must do the same, my dear friends. If we will persevere in the practice of virtue, if we will persevere in the midst of crosses and suffering, which we all have in one way or another, if we will persevere in the state of grace, in the midst of temptations against holy purity, we must fervently pray to Mary, our most blessed and powerful Mother. Oh, she may not work a miracle, as she certainly seemed to work for the sisters in Siberia, but she will work countless miracles of grace in our hearts and in the hearts of those for whom we pray with confidence. Pray to her then, my dear people. Pray her rosary every day. That is the prayer that she herself asked us at Fatima to pray every day. And why? She said, pray the rosary every day for peace on earth and for the conversion of sinners. Pray her rosary every day then. Pray to her and ask this glorious Queen and Mother of Mercy for the grace to persevere in your love for God and in the state of sanctifying grace. Pray to her and ask her for the grace to patiently persevere in the midst of temptation and in all the trials and sufferings of your life. And pray to her with confidence and ask her for the special grace, that most special grace we all ought to ask for every day, the grace of final perseverance. That is the grace to die in the state of sanctifying grace. Pray to her and have confidence that she will obtain these graces. Ever mindful of the words of the great Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who once said, "I tell you, my dearest brethren, if you call upon Blessed Mary and knock gently, she will not abandon you in your need, for she is merciful and the Mother of Mercy." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.